Your next speaker is Maxie Boren.
It would behoove each one of us to give careful heed to what Jesus said in the passage that Brother Larry Benedict just read for us. If you continue in my word, or as the American Standard Translation says, if you abide in my word, then are ye my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Great passage of Scripture with great meaning. And each one of us need to consider it very carefully, very prayerfully, and make sure and certain that we abide in His Word, that we continue in His Word, because His Word is truth. And the truth alone can make men free. So I hope and pray that those words will be impressed upon our minds and will not be soon forgotten. But there are other words that our Lord spoke that also are very, very important. For an example, in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." So the word of our Lord is enduring. It's eternal in its quality and in its nature and in its duration. And we need to know that. No wonder the Lord urged us to abide in His Word. And then finally, in the 12th chapter of the book of John, in verse 48, Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Now, we really need to give heed to that passage. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, then are ye my disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. And he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." This morning we want to note some of the things that Jesus said, some of the things that he taught, in full awareness that we're going to be judged by these great teachings someday. And I want to begin in the 4th chapter of the book of John. And if you have your New Testament, you may care to follow with me as we look at some of these contexts. The Lord was in conversation with a Samaritan woman at Jacob's well, and he asked of her drink from the well. And then he mentioned to her that he was able to give living water. Those that drink of this well, referring to Jacob's well, shall thirst again. But he that drinks of the water that I can give shall never thirst. She was rather astonished at that. And then in verse 14 of John 4, Jesus said, "Whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up unto eternal life." I submit for your careful consideration that Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only can quench your spiritual thirst. And this is seen again in the 6th chapter of John in verse 35, where the Lord had this to say, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." We need to know that Jesus is the one that can satisfy our spiritual hunger, and he is the one that can quench our spiritual thirst. None other is able to do that. And that's imperative that we understand that Jesus Christ is the only one that can do that. He, being the Son of God, having existed in times eternal with the Father, he himself being deity, John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things have been made through him, and there wasn't anything made that hath been made except through him." We're talking about one coexistence with the Father from all eternity. He is the one that can give the living water that springs up within us unto eternal life. He is the only one that can quench your spiritual thirst and satisfy your spiritual hunger. In the 8th chapter of this same great book of John, in verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can illuminate our pathway. He is the only one that can give us that light which we desperately desire and need, so that our pathway will be clear for us to see, so that we will not be contaminated or polluted by the spiritual realm of darkness, by those who walk in the pathways of wickedness and evil. But we will walk in that pathway of righteousness, and our Lord, being the light of the world, shall certainly brighten the way as we go. Please be retaining all of these in your mind, because this is a cumulative lesson. We're not talking about just one passage of Scripture, but we're talking about a multiplicity of thoughts which our Lord communicated. In the 10th chapter of the book of John, Jesus made this statement in verse 9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." In the context, he's talking about the sheepfold. And people are compared to sheep, that is, those who follow the shepherd's voice. And all those who are of Jesus Christ will heed his voice and follow his voice, even as we've already learned from John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. He that abides in my word is the one that will be the disciple of the Lord. Jesus said, "I am the doorway. If any man enter in by me, he shall be saved." There's only one entrance way into the realm of salvation. There's only one entrance way into the sheepfold, whereof Jesus Christ is the great shepherd. And speaking of the shepherd and the sheep, in verse 11 he said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." I appreciate the remarks of Brother Eddie Parker a few moments ago in sharing with us insight into the responsibility we have in partaking of the Lord's Supper. To remember one who is the shepherd of the sheepfold. To remember the one who is the door into that realm of safety, into that realm of salvation. The one who gave his life in our behalf, that souls so unworthy might live. The one who suffered there on that cross for those 6 long hours that Brother Roy Deaver made mention of a number of years ago. The one who shed his life's blood to make it possible for you and me to be redeemed from sin and iniquity and to have the hope of salvation. He is the door, the entrance way into the realm of spiritual life. He is the good shepherd that has laid down his life for the sheep. In the 11th chapter of the book of John, during that time that Lazarus had died, and Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus, were grieving at his departure. Oh, they expressed to Jesus, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes on me, though he die, yet shall he live." John 11 and verse 25. We need to believe that with all of our hearts. Because you see, someday death is going to come to each one of us. "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment." Hebrews 9, verse 27. "And if the grave were the end of it all, if the grave were the victor, we of all men would be most miserable, most pitiable, because our hope would have been taken away. But thanks be to the great truth that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, and that someday we will hear his voice, and all that are in their graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good under the resurrection of life." John chapter 5 and verse 28. Yes, he is the resurrection and the life, and we need to praise his great name in that regard. In the 14th chapter of the book of John, verse 6, a passage with which all of you are familiar, Jesus declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father except by me." Isn't it comforting to know that there is the right way available? And that Jesus Christ is that right way? He is the truth, he is the life, he is all of these embodied. And how grateful we should be. Please retain in your mind all that we've said. He's the giver of the living water. He is the bread of life. He is the only one that can satisfy our spiritual thirst. and satisfy our spiritual hunger. Jesus is the light of the world. He illuminates our pathway. Jesus is the door into the sheepfold. He is the one through which we can enter into the realm of spiritual life, that abundant life which He came to make possible for us, as He declared in John 10, verse 10, I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly. And I can assure you that the abundant life is in Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by Him. With all of that in mind, let's note a few other things that Jesus taught. He taught that unless we believe that He is the Christ, we would die in our sins. John chapter 8, verse 24. Except you believe that I am He, you shall die in your sins. So it's necessary that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and the book of John was given to prove that to us. Seven miraculous signs which Jesus did are recorded in the book of John. And all the way through that book, one thing stands out loud and clear. Jesus Christ is divine. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is deity. Not just a mere man, as a lot of people today would try and pawn off on the minds of people, that Jesus was just a man, but no more than that. That's not true. Jesus was more than just a man. You see, He was God incarnate. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1 and verse 14. So this book bears testimony to His divinity. As we read in the 20th chapter of this same great book, verses 30 and 31, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, now listen, that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and that believing you might have life through His name. There's just one Savior, my friends, and that's Jesus Christ. And who is Jesus Christ? He's the Son of the living God. And there is salvation in none other. Acts chapter 11. We need to know all of that. Acts chapter 4, rather, verse 11. Well, let's see what else He said. Except ye repent, ye shall perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. So I know then that I must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that I must repent of my sins or else I'm going to perish. When the Lord sent His disciples out on what we call the limited commission in the 10th chapter of the book of John, He warned them that they would be delivered up before men, that they would suffer in His name, and many of them would be put to death. But He said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear Him who hath power to kill both body and soul in hell fire. And then He said this, whosoever shall confess Me before men, him will I confess before My Father who is in heaven. But whosoever denieth Me before men, I will deny before My Father who is in heaven. Verses 32 and 33 of Matthew chapter 10. And even though He wasn't speaking specifically of the confession that is taught in other portions of the last will and testament of our Lord, it was very important that we never deny Him, regardless of the circumstances, even if it means the forfeiture of our lives. We are to make that acknowledgement before our fellow man. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. It's very important that we do that. Over television this morning, Brother Eddie Parrish quoted from Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's very important that we be willing to confess Christ. And when Philip preached Jesus to the Ethiopian nobleman, in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, when they came to water, the nobleman said, here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if you believe, you may. And he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And it was upon that confession of his faith that they got out of the chariot and went down into the water, and Philip baptized the eunuch, and he went on his way rejoicing. What an interesting statement. And in the 3rd chapter of the book of John, Jesus said, except one be born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 5 of that 3rd chapter of John. So the Lord then taught concerning what one must do to be saved. He must believe. He must repent of his sins. He must confess before men his faith in Christ as the Son of God. And he must be born again. And throughout the New Testament, it's very clear what that means. It means baptism into Christ for the remission of sin. One is born of water and the Spirit. And it's absolutely essential that this take place. But that's not all that our Lord taught. He also taught concerning the kingdom. In fact, he had a lot to say concerning his kingdom. First of all, that it was to be a spiritual kingdom. It was not to be a kingdom of this earth per se. It wasn't going to be a temporal domain, but it would be a spiritual domain. And he would rule over it on the throne of David. And all of those who were willing to do his will would be his citizens of that kingdom. And our citizenship would be in heaven, Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. And our expectations would be beyond this veil of tears. And our anticipation was not of a temporal throne, but of that celestial throne where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven above, and that place to which we strive someday to go, a place called heaven. So our Lord taught concerning his kingdom. In other passages of Scripture, the kingdom and the church, those words are used interchangeably, even as Brother Parrish brought out very graphically in his great television lesson this morning over Channel 52 at 7:30 each Sunday morning. You can see that and it'd be well worth your time. And he brought out Matthew chapter 16 this morning in his lesson where Christ said, "I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." And then he said to Peter and later on to the other apostles, "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Not meaning that they were given some sort of authority, but that they would be guided by the Spirit in giving the heavenly terms, which Peter did on the day of Pentecost when he told those people to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And we'll learn more about that in our lesson tonight, which will be a continuation of this one. So Jesus taught concerning the importance of his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And having found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Verses 45 and 46 of Matthew chapter 13. So it's worth our giving our all in order to possess as a reality in our lives, in order to be a citizen of the Lord's kingdom, to have him as our king, the King of kings and Lord of lords. But the Lord didn't stop there in his teachings. He also taught concerning the importance of our living as we ought to live. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And in the very same context, verse 20, he said to his disciples, "I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter in to the kingdom of heaven." It's important that we live right. And Jesus Christ stressed that in his teachings. And we today, as we remember some of the words that our Lord spoke, words by which we will be judged someday, words which are going to continue forever, it's imperative that we remember this, that we know we have a responsibility to let our light shine before our fellow man, that we may glorify God by the lives that we live, that our righteousness must exceed that righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And we could make mention of any number of other scriptures, but because of brevity of time, we will dispense with that for right now. We will also ask this question in closing. Did the Lord speak of that eternal realm to come? And the answer is yes. In the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, as an example, the Lord depicted there the judgment to come, that the angels shall be sent henceforth into all the world and shall gather before the throne of judgment all nations, and there will be a great separation made. And those on the left hand will hear him say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Verse 41. But to those on his right hand, he's going to say, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And the Bible said, "These shall go away into eternal punishment," reference to those on the left hand, "but these shall go away into everlasting life," reference to those on the right hand. So the Lord taught concerning eternity. All of these teachings are of great importance. I could not possibly over-exaggerate or overstress how important they are. These are the words by which we're going to be judged someday. These and all the other words that our Lord spoke and that the inspired writers of His last will and testament spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see, this book which I hold in my hand is not just some production of men apart from divine guidance. It is the inspired Word of the living God. It is the last will and testament of Jesus Christ. And we're going to be judged by this book someday. You read over in Revelation 21 where the judgment's going to take place and the books will be opened. There's no doubt at all that this is the book that will be opened. And we will be judged by what is recorded here. And it's imperative that we read and study and allow these words to enter into our heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Colossians 3 verse 16. That we be guided by His Word. That we be directed by His Word. That we live our lives in accordance with His Word. We're going to be judged by it someday. And I think a lot of people are oblivious to that fact. They just don't realize the seriousness of the matter. But we're talking about something that is the most important thing in the world. Where will you spend eternity? We're all facing the time of judgment. The Bible tells us there's a day of judgment coming. God has appointed a day in which He will judge this world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, inasmuch as He has given assurance unto all men and that He hath raised Him from the dead. Are you ready for that day? Have you heeded the words of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you look upon Him with deep appreciation and gratitude for who He was, who He is, what He has done for us, what He continues to do for us as our high priest at God's right hand? Do you really appreciate Him? Are you being led and directed by His words along life's way? Are you living as you should? Do you recognize the value of the kingdom? Are you seeking it first in your life as He taught us to do in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33? Are you preparing for that day of judgment? Where will you spend eternity? Grapple with those words. We must grapple with them because the Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Hebrews 9, verse 27. We're going to blend our voices together in a song of encouragement. It could well be that someone, or maybe more than one, of a responsible age and mind present with us this morning have never yet rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is God's power to save, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. If you haven't, won't you realize that it's a matter of urgency? And won't you make up your mind this very day, I'm going to heed the words of my Lord. I will enter through Him into that realm of safety and salvation, and I will walk in the light with my Lord as He is in the light all the days that I live, and I will bring honor to my Father in heaven by the life that I live, and someday through His grace and mercy, my hope will be realized and heaven will be my home.